Daniel chapter 3, verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to him, "O king, unto the king, true, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the fourth, and the form of the fourth, is like the Son of God." Let's pray. Father, help us now to preach. I pray you'd help us to encourage God's people. My Father, there are people in our midst that have burdens, grievous to be borne, heavy things, things that weigh on their heart, occupy their mind. We have folks that are going to be in a fire just down the road. I pray that you would give us strength and grace tonight. Prepare us, equip us, help us. May the Word of God enable us. We'll thank you. We'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll bring you a little message tonight called Bound in Babylon, Freed in the Furnace. Now, these three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are captives from the nation of Israel. They've been carried away against their will and brought into a strange land. And they have been dressed in the attire of Babylon. They've been taught the language of the Babylonians. They've been taught the philosophy, the education, and the science of the Babylonians. But they have been faithful and have not given up, nor denied, nor turned their back upon their God. They have remained faithful. They have remained true. And for that reason, they have found no favor in the sight of the king, who has decided to be done with them and cast them into the fire. He's going to burn them alive, and that's going to be the end of these three boys. Now, it's a testimony to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that they could be surrounded by people of different opinions, men of strange persuasions, men who dressed differently, talked differently, believed differently, and behaved differently, and yet had enough personal character and integrity to stay true to God. People today say, well, it is so hard to live for the Lord. Well, nobody's thrown you in a fiery furnace yet. Nobody's hauled you up and put your head under the guillotine. Nobody has cast you to the hungry lions. Nobody has beaten you with a cat of nine tails. Okay? Now, it's always been difficult to live for God. There's always been opposition. The Bible said, "And all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." There are no exceptions. And so, this thing about, well, it's harder now than it's ever been, that's just nonsense. We talk about the pressure that the teens have, and the peer pressure, and all the things they have to face. Well, some of those things may be somewhat different than they were in the past, But they have no more attraction, and they pull no harder than the things that were attractive to teenagers in the 18th century, the 15th century, the 12th century, or the 3rd century. Every generation and every age has had its snare. Every generation has had its attraction. And so there's always been an obstacle to serving God. Those who try, those who determine to live for God, have always faced opposition and an uphill battle. And in some cases, it's probably, in fact, easier today than it has been at some other times. Because today, even though it is not popular, and you may be laughed at, you may be ostracized, you may be ridiculed, you are not going to be slain. So, minus the penalty of death, today's situation may not be as bad as it has been at other times. There have been times in the history of the world in the last 2,000 years where to be a Christian and stand for God meant to give up your head. It was great sport to crucify Christians, to feed Christians to lions. There was a king who took Christians and chained them to posts in his garden, put waxed coats on them and set them on fire at night and used them as candles to light his garden for garden parties. You're not up against that. You know, so you say, well, what are you saying? I'm saying quit your whining. That's what I'm saying. Okay, there's opposition to living for God. Deal with it. There's always been opposition, and there is always going to be opposition. Now, these boys, in spite of the opposition, managed to live for God. You say, yeah, and look at them. They're in the fiery furnace, too. Well, you're going through the fiery furnace. I want to use this little story here as an illustration that trouble comes in our lives. We all face a burning, fiery furnace from time to time. And what we need is people who are willing to stand for God, even though it puts them in harm's way. These boys could have backed off. They could have closed their mouth. They could have clammed up. They could have recanted. They could have just kept silent and been safe. But they didn't do that. They did what they were supposed to do. They did what was right. And there was a price to pay for doing right. The world you live in does not love righteousness. It is not a friend of grace, and they are not enamored with God. So when you love God and try to do right, trouble is bound to come your way. You're bound to face trials. And if the world doesn't give them to you, the devil will. So you're going to get it. Now, I want you to notice just three or four things very briefly tonight. First of all, I want you to notice where these boys are. When we pick up our story, they are in the fiery furnace. Now, what got them there is basically immaterial. The fact is where they're at. They are in the furnace. They are in the furnace for their testimony. Now, God's people find themselves in fiery trials all the time. Matter of fact, the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." The Bible tells you and admonishes you, don't even think it's weird. Don't think it's odd. This is the norm. It's coming. The fiery trial will try you if you live for God. So don't think it's strange. Don't think it's abnormal. Don't get your feelings hurt. Don't think the world, the flesh, and the devil is just picking on you. That's the common experience of God's people. We all go through it at different times, in different places, for different reasons and all that. There's a ton of variables, but the bottom line is all of God's people end up in the fire somewhere. None of us want to be there. I certainly do not. I'm a fair weather sailor, thank you. I like it when there's a balmy breeze and the temperature is 70 and the humidity is 40. My kind of weather, buddy. Give me about 8 or 10 knot gentle breeze from behind. Just let it push my boat right along in a nice steady clip. I like it like that. Amen. I'm not looking for a fiery trial. Now, I got enough sense to know it's coming. I'm going to have to deal with it. I'm going to have to live with it. And I'm going to have to get through it. But that ain't what I'm looking for. It's not what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were looking for, but it's what they found. And our point tonight deals with how they handled the fiery trial. Not what got them there, not how long they were there, not who put them there, how they behaved themselves once they were there. Now, boy, I see Christians from time to time that are going through some things. And over the years, I have tried to observe and behold how different people handle different situations. It's not always been good. It's not always been pleasant. Boy, I've got some stories. I've told them all over and over. You know, I don't have any brand new ones. But I've got some stories. I've seen some things. I know some Christians that have had some unbelievable things occur in their life. And they never faltered. They never failed. They never turned to the right hand nor to the left. They just kept right on trucking right along for God. Just like they did before the trouble came. And they just drew closer to God and hung on to God and prayed to God and took comfort in God. And God got them through it. And they came through on the other side and they dusted themselves off. And as far as their stride was concerned, as far as their faithfulness was concerned, as far as their zeal for God was concerned, you would never know they'd been in trouble. They just kept on. I have seen others, on the other hand, when the first fiery trial came their way, they were consumed. It just burned them right up. They burned them right out. They quit on God right and left. They get mad. They get angry. They get bitter. They get resentful. And the bottom line is, someplace in their mind, they think a thought like this: well, if that's the way God's going to treat me, I don't need God. If God's going to let me go through this, if God's going to let this happen. Now, it's a free country, and you can take that attitude if you want. One, it won't keep the fiery trial from coming. They're coming. That attitude won't get you through. It will not sustain you. You can take it. It's a bad choice, dumb thing. But people do it all the time. The fiery trial is designed, and its intent is to cause you to cling to Him and search for Him. The only hope you've got when you're thrown in the fiery furnace is God. Do you realize what would have happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had God not sustained them in the fire? Why, they would have been consumed as quickly and as readily as the men who cast them in. The biggest, the strongest, the most powerful men in the country were consumed by the heat just throwing these boys in the fire. They had no hope in and of themselves. It was only God that sustained them through the fire. So if you want to be overcome, if you want to be consumed, if you want to be destroyed when trouble comes into your life, handle it alone. Do it by yourself. On the other hand, if you want to survive the thing, if you want to get through it in one piece, you better get a hold of God. The only thing that sustained these three boys was God went into the fire with him. Boy, that gives new meaning to "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," doesn't it? I'm glad that he's in the fire. There was a gospel group several years ago had a song out called "The Fourth Man in the Fire." And it's kind of one of those up-tempo things. And it's talking about a young man is singing the song, looking back toward his mother, and he's asking his mother who was the fourth man. You know, he'd been reading the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the line goes, "And she danced across the floor." She's excited because she realized that the fourth man was in the fire with them, and the same fourth man is still in the fire. So when you go in, he's there. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now with him in the fire, you can survive. With him in the fire, you can be sustained. With him in the fire, you can conquer and overcome, and you come out victorious on the other side. And without him, you're destroyed. Now, let me ask you a question here. What does a Christian lose in the furnace? What did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego lose in the furnace? It says they had on coats and hosen and other garments. They were fully dressed. And their hands were bound. Right? Now, if you go on and read the rest of the story, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are freed from the fiery furnace, they still have on their hats, their coats, their hosen, and their other garments. What is missing? The bonds. All they lost in the fire were the things that bound them, that held them back, that took away their liberty and their freedom. That's what fire, that's what the fiery trial in your life is supposed to do, is free you from the bonds of Babylon. You live in a society that lays claim to you, that puts pressure on you, that looks out and grabs you and tries to mold you and make you and shape you in its image, to get you preoccupied with this life and the things of this life, to get you consumed with materialism and health and wealth and longevity and those kind of things. And so we begin to hold men's persons in admiration because of their power and this kind of thing. Or we fear this group, or we're embarrassed by that group, or we give place to this one. The fear of man bringeth a snare. We let people and places hamper us and hinder us. They bind us down. We're bound with a certain degree of conformity to this world. We tend to be embarrassed by our gospel and by our Savior. We don't speak up like we should. We don't testify like we should. We don't live like we should. That's the influence of Babylon. But let me tell you what the fire will do. When it gets real hot and you need help and the only source of help is God, you lose your inhibitions. Show me a man in crisis, I'll show you a fellow that's willing to talk about prayer. Show me a man that's going through a real troublesome time in his life, and I'll show you a fellow that's willing to talk about God. Show me a fellow who's got his back against the wall and sees no way out, and I'll show you a fellow that's willing to get right with God, repent of his sin, and change his life. It's amazing how the fire frees us from the influence, the bonds, the chains of Babylon. Christians get real cold. They get hard. We become indifferent. We become insensitive to things and people around us. We get preoccupied with self and this thing and family and life and all that. And we just get absorbed into that and we let God drift off into the background of our life a lot of times. I must say we get out and see Him. We live a good life, whatever that is. We maintain our manner of life, but our heart has departed. That's because of the influence of the world you live in. So sometimes God just lets you slip into a burning, fiery furnace. And buddy, the minute your feet get hot, you start looking for God. I'll tell you what you do. I was out at the Army Reserve 2-3 weeks ago. They called me up on Saturday night, wondering if I'd come preach. And you don't ever have to ask me if I'll come. Just tell me you got a spot and I'll go. A fella called me up, wondering if I'd come preach. I said, okay, I'll be there. So at 8 o'clock next morning, I'm over at the Army thing to preach. And before the service, there's a kind of a chunky, kind of almost effeminate-looking little fellow. I'm not saying he was. He just, you know, real soft-faced. Little fellow sitting there, kind of down in the mouth. And I got talking to him. And he was telling me he just rededicated his life and just got straightened out and got back in fellowship with God. I thought, now that's a blessing. But I've been at this a long time, so I said, what happened? I'm not being cynical, but normally we don't come back and get right with God unless something pushed us. So I asked him, I said, what happened? Well, what happened was his wife ran off with his best friend. That's what happened. And he is in a fiery trial. His heart is broken. His world has fallen apart. He doesn't know which way to turn. He doesn't have strength to handle the emotional turmoil that's going on inside of his heart and on the inside of his mind. So what did he do? He flees to God. Which is what he ought to have done.
Now, he should have been there all along. But I'm going to tell you something, pal. When trouble comes, the thing to do is get close to God. And you get closer to God in a fiery furnace than you'll ever get close to God on the mountaintop.
The only thing you lose in the fire is the thing that bound you down, that kept you from being what God wants you to be, kept you from being what you should have been, kept you from being the testimony you should. What gets burned off in there are the ropes. You don't lose anything else. Now, what didn't they lose? They lost their bonds. What did they not lose? Well, they didn't lose their lives. They lived through it. You know something? When trouble comes in your life, you're going to survive it. You say, well, I've got terminal cancer. Yes, but you're going to survive terminal cancer. The only thing that's going to happen is your body's going to die. But you are a survivor. You understand that? If you're saved by God's grace, you're a survivor. Amen. So, well, I never thought about it like that. Well, think about it like that. Without terminal cancer, age is going to get you. One of these days you're going to lay down and die. Your body's going to assume room temperature. They'll take you out back and put you to bed with a shovel, and the worms are going to eat you. Now, if it happens with a sudden catastrophic heart attack, or if it takes a prolonged amount of time with cancer, or if old age finally just wears you out, it doesn't make any difference. You're going to die. But it's only... See, there's nothing on the planet that can destroy me. Or it can take my physical life. You can put me in prison and cut my head off. But I'm going to survive it. I'm going home to glory. I have eternal life. And though you rob me of physical life, you cannot rob me of spiritual life. And though you put my body in the ground, you can't keep my soul out of heaven. Amen. I'm a survivor. So, no matter what the fire does, I'm going to survive the fire. The devil and the fires of this world, the troubles and cares of this world, can't keep me out of heaven. For I am persuaded neither life nor death, nor power nor principality, nor things above nor past behind, angel nor death, nor any other creature, and anything else that I lift out of that birth, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And I'm not looking forward to the fiery trial, but I know this, when it comes, and it's coming, I'm going to survive it. Even if it kills me. Somebody say amen. Don't ever lose sight of your eternal life. Don't get so fixed on keeping your body alive that you become absorbed with that. At best, at very best, that's only temporary. The real guy's going to live forever. They didn't lose their salvation. I'll tell you something else. They didn't lose their clothing. When they came out of there, they still had on all that junk. Amen? Now listen, fiery trials may come in this life, but there's two things they can't take. They can't destroy my eternity. They can't take that. My salvation is secure. And they can't take my clothing. That is the righteousness of God. I'm clothed in His righteousness. And no matter how burned I get, and no matter how bad I stumble, and no matter how big a mess I make out of it, and no matter what kind of furnace God has to put me through, His righteousness will survive the fire. His righteousness, not mine, but the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, that clothing that He gave me when I became a child of the King. Remember that story over there with prodigal son, where the father takes the fatty calf and the golden ring and the best robe, and he comes out and he clothes the son, and he said, "This is my beloved son who is dead and is alive again." Well, listen, I was dead in trespasses and sin, and boy, one day I got saved and I've been made alive again, and I was clothed in the rags of the pig pen. But when I got saved and came back home, God Almighty reached down and got the best robe, the robe of righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and He clothed me in it, and He put it around my shoulders, and there's not a fire in the world can destroy what God gave me. They didn't lose much in there, did they? Boy, do we fret about the fire. We cry and whine when trouble comes. And I guess that's human, and I don't suppose we're going to stop all of it. But it is a shame considering how good God's been and the guarantees we have. Now, let me ask you this. What did they do in the fiery furnace. Now, he's got these three guys in there, and they're up, they're loose. What did they do? Well, I'll tell you what they didn't do. They didn't party. They didn't drink and get all carried away in revelry. The king said, did we not cast three men bound in the fiery furnace? I see what? Four men up, loose, and walking around. They were walking with the Lord. And the form of the force is like unto the Son of God. You know what the fiery trial is supposed to do? It's supposed to be a growing experience, a learning experience, a strengthening experience. It is to cause you to walk with Him. Trouble in your life is not just to make you sad. It's to get you close to Him. Close enough so you can get hand in hand. My wife and I have been married 37 years and 4 days. That's a long time. The idea of her putting up with me for 37 years staggers my mind. You are looking at a woman who has untold grace. Been married 37 years. We get in the car. And I don't care whether you're in the car or we're by ourselves. We hold hands. I like to get her close enough. Her hands are soft. And warm. They feel good. I like to hold them. I've been holding them for years and years and years and years. I woke up the other morning. You know what I was doing? I was holding her hand. We were sound asleep, holding hands. I don't want her to get much further away from me than that. I want to keep her close enough so I can hold her. You know what the fire does in a Christian's life? It gets you back close enough to God so you can hold His hand. So you can walk with Him. Hand in hand. That's the way you ought to have walked anyway. But boy, we get a little money in our pocket. Things kind of going our way. Man, we get too big for our britches. We get to thinking we're somebody. You just let prosperity come, and the easiest thing in the world to do in times of prosperity is get away from God. Oh, but we can come running back real quick. You just let God strike the match and start the fire. We come back. Amen. Now, you're supposed to learn things from the fire. From the experience of going through the furnace, you're supposed to learn something. You reckon when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of that fire, they felt the same way about God as they did when they went in? Now listen, here's how they went in. This is not in the Bible, but this is in the Bible. Take my word for it. When that king said, stoke up the fire, put in about 5 tons of coal, put in about 3 inches of kerosene, crude oil or something. Add some sulfur and stuff to it. Stick the match to it. I want a bonfire. I mean, I want this thing 7 times hotter than normal. Now, them boys are sitting back there watching them build that fire. And now they know God. And they trust God. Right? You know God, don't you? You trust God, don't you? But if I told you in the morning, would you be worried tonight? Now, I know God can, but the thought in the back of your mind is, will He? It's one thing to know that God can, but human nature is to doubt and to worry and to fret. Them three boys spent the night over there in a little huddle, leaned over the fire saying, you think God's going to get us out of this? I don't know, man. You know what He did for Daniel in the lion's den? Yeah, but man, me and you ain't no Daniels. That's how they spent the night. They spent the night wringing their hands and worrying. But they had already said, we know that our God is able to deliver us, but no, O king, if He will not, we will not bow. See, they already purposed in their heart. And
10 from the top of the furnace there to the bottom, 10, 12 feet. How many Hail Marys could you get in? You know, how many? Hail Mary, fruit of the loom. You know, they wasn't different than you and I. When they went in that thing, they had a head knowledge of the goodness of God and His power and His ability to deliver. When they walked out of that furnace on the other side in one piece, unburned, unscathed, untouched by the fire, they had an experimental knowledge of God's power and ability. When they came out on the other side of this God, they walked by Pharaoh, they were swaggering. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar. How you doing, dude? I told you. You see, it's one thing to talk about God and God's ability and God's power before trouble comes. It's quite another to talk about Him when you come out on the other side. We can declare the truth of it over here and the expectation of it over here. But after we've been through it, after we've experienced it, after God's put us through it, boy, when we come over here, we speak from the heart. God has done. It's not a future thing. It's a past completed act. And don't you know when you step out on the other side, you can do some real, genuine, serious, and off the heart praising God. You ain't going to have to work it up in the flesh. They won't have to sing 47 stanzas of that little ditty to get you going. Somebody will say testimony and you'll be off your butt and on your feet before you can bat your eyes. Amen, preacher. What they did in the furnace was they walk. It's a growing process. They didn't run. They didn't leap. They walked. Have you all ever heard the story of the tortoise and the hare? And the tortoise wins the race. Even though the rabbit, the hare, is 100 times faster, he's inconsistent. He starts and he stops and he lays by and he goofs off, and the old turtle just plods along. Let me tell you what God wants out of you. God wants you to fix your course on heaven, get your eyes on glory, and then walk home. Not looking to the right hand or the left hand, but walk home. Get in the way and walk. And when the troubles come, just walk. And when good times come, just walk. And when the winds blow contrary, just walk. And when the fire falls, just walk. When the health goes, just walk. When the marriage fails, just walk. When the job goes, just walk. Just walk, just walk. Just keep on keeping on for God. That's what He wants. Just slow and steady. Set a pace you can live with. Several weeks ago, I was trying to do some work with my grandson. I don't want him to grow up to be a lazy sluggard, so I work him. I don't think he's too young to work. I think you ought to make him work. I make him work hard. And when I make him do it, I make him do it right. I don't let him get away with nothing. We were doing something, and he was just digging in. In a couple minutes, he's quitting. I said, now listen. Start over. And this time, set you a pace you can live with. You don't impress me slinging dirt or whatever it is like a wild man for 2 or 3 minutes. We got a whole job to do, and it's got to be finished. And we got to do it in such a way that we can not only start it, but we can complete it. So you got to set a pace that you can live with. There are a lot of folks who start out for God on fire. Boys, just get into this and get into that and get involved. And pretty soon, they're all burnt out, wore out. They're sitting on the sideline. They're quit. They're rabbits. What we need is some turtles. Amen. In the fire, they walked with the Lord. Who was with them in the fire? Verse 25, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I'll tell you who was with them in the fire.
Jesus was with them in the fire. Now, you ever think about this? He said, I will never forsake, leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I'm with thee always. You ever think about all the places Jesus has shown up where God has gone to keep His people? Well, here in Daniel chapter 3, He's in the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew boys. In Daniel, He's with Daniel in the lion's den. David, He's with David on the field of battle to slay Goliath the giant. He's with the Apostle Paul when Apostle Paul is 3 days and three nights in the deep. Paul is lost at sea for 3 days and three nights. He's with him. He's with Hezekiah on his sickbed. He's with the widow when she's running out of oil in her poverty. He's with Stephen in his death as they stoned him on the road to Damascus. He's with Paul and John up in glory when they behold heaven. Does it make any difference where God's people go? He's there. You've never been any place where He's not. And you're not ever going any place where He's not. He's with you. So, whether it's the briny deep or the portals of glory or the burning fiery furnace, He's with you. Now, I don't know about you. I like companionship. I like people. I don't like them a lot, but I like them. I used to have a sticker that said, I love humanity. People I hate. I like to be with my wife. She's good company. She's a good friend. She's good to talk to. She's good to laugh with. She can take a joke and she can give one. I like her fellowship. I like her companionship. But she can't go with me everywhere. I wish she could. I'd like to put her in my truck and just keep her with me. But I can't. So there are times and there are places when I don't have her fellowship, her companionship. So, well, who takes her place? Jesus Christ. I've never been any place He didn't go with me. He's let me fall. He's done all kinds of things to me. He doesn't take good care of me, but He goes. I'm just teasing. Some of y'all don't laugh at nothing. The Lord can take a joke. The Lord can take a joke. He's got a sense of humor. If you don't believe it, you read Isaiah and 2 Samuel and you'll find out God's got a sense of humor. Everywhere I've ever been, He's been right there with me. Never been a time, never been a place, never been a problem, never been a fiery trial that I had to face alone. My God is with me. He has always sustained. He's always given the victory. I stand here today because of His grace and His mercy. Had I not had His strength, had I not had His wisdom, had I not had His companionship, I would have been destroyed in the fires of life years and years ago. And if you're to make it through, what you have to do is stay close to Him. When the fires come, run for God. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy.